So very good to see everybody here this evening. Again, as I'm scanning the crowd, I see a few people that are visitors with us. You're our most welcome, our most honored guest. We hope that you're feeling so welcome when you are here worshiping with us that you'll want to come back. And whenever you're in the area again, to come back and worship God together with us again. My lesson here this evening is going to be entitled Finding Order, Stability, and Victory in a Disorderly, Unstable, Dying World. I actually worked this lesson up for myself many years ago because I am driven for order. I like to have everything in its place. You'll find that the Bible talks about putting things in order. In the Old Testament book of Isaiah, you find where Hezekiah is being told by Isaiah the prophet that he is soon going to die. I'm reading from the sermon outline. It says, in those days Hezekiah was sick and near death, and Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amoz, went to him and said to him, thus says the Lord, set your house in order, for you shall die and not live. And so he's told to set his house, notice this phrase, in order. I understand this particular phrase. I told y'all earlier this year that back in February, I wasn't even sure if I was going to live much longer. And during that time, I was trying to set my house in order. And that was the idea of trying to get everything set up the way it was supposed to be, as best as I could, so that after I did pass away, if I was going to pass away, that it would be easier on my family because everything was where it was supposed to be. And so here Hezekiah is told, set your house in order. The concept of setting things in order is that everything has a place where it's supposed to be. Now, I told you this about myself. I am actually driven to put things in order. I have been this way from childhood. It's just the way I am. And so I like everything where it's supposed to be. You know what I did this afternoon? My wife was out of town visiting Jennifer up in Mountain Home. You know what I did at the house? I set things in order. That's right. I spent an hour and a half setting things in order. And then after I set things in order at the house, I came down here to the church building. You know what I did? I set things in order. I went to my office, and I put things where they were supposed to be. And then it spills over into the next office, which is really not my office. It's just a room next to my office. And so I go over there, and I start putting things in order. I am continually putting things where they're supposed to be. If I come in your house and straighten your picture, just understand I'm going to do that one of these days. I do it all the time when I walk in, and it's just barely off a centimeter. I walk over and I straighten it up. And when I'm in my office, sometimes I'll be working, I look over and I go, that's not right. And I'll go over and move something on the shelf to where it's balanced. I like order. But we live in a disorderly world, where everything is going into disorder, where everything is breaking down. You find this phrase, setting things in order, again in Titus 1 and 5, where the Apostle Paul, speaking to the evangelist Timothy, says that you should set in order the things that are lacking, talking about appointing elders in the churches there. And so, again, you set in order things that are lacking, setting up the organization of the local congregations the way they're supposed to be, with everything, the elders, the deacons, the evangelists, all the teachers, everything in order, doing what they're supposed to do. The concept here, again, is set in order. So if this describes you to where you like things in order, not everybody likes this. I know of some people that just love disorder, and that's okay if that describes you, but that's not me. I am driven to continually put things in order, and to the point to where I make a list of things to do every day. And I have found the key to help myself not become overwhelmed. I will put down organize office some. And I put the word some at the end of all my list of things to do, because I've noticed a lot of the things on my list have to do with order. And there's a reason for that, because as I said, I want everything in its place because it's easier to function for me that way. I've got 4 filing cabinets, 8 memory sticks, a computer, an iPad. And then sometimes still I spend an hour looking for things because I'm not ordered well enough. Because it's continually going into disorder. I'm continually losing information. And so here I'm wanting order. I'm wanting everything in its place, but it's going out of order. I want you to look at Malachi chapter 3, verse 6. Here in the Old Testament, it's a very simple statement about God. For I am the Lord, I do not change. There is where you finally find what you're looking for. If you desire order to where things are where they're supposed to be, and they're not changing and they're not going to disorder, the only place you're actually going to be fulfilled is not in this world. It's in God. The only place you're going to find true order that does not change, that does not go into disorder, is in God who does not change. Speaking about Jesus in Hebrews 13:8, it says Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and look at this, forever. The same. His character, the same. His love for us, the same. He is not a shifting shadow, as James describes God. He's not a shifting shadow. That is the idea. He's constant. He's always where he's supposed to be. He's always exactly the way he's supposed to be. Psalm says in Psalm 100 and verse 5, the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting. But notice the next phrase, and his truth endures to all generations. I don't know about you, but I find comfort in the truth. That there is absolute truth, and it doesn't change. It doesn't change with changing culture. It doesn't change with changing time. It's always constantly the truth. It was the truth yesterday, it's the truth today, and it will be exactly the truth tomorrow. It's not shifting, it's not changing, it's not relative and moving. It's always where it's supposed to be. If you desire order in your life, you need to understand you're living in a world that is continually going into disorder. And so the only true way you're going to find fulfillment in your drive for order is in God, who does not change, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and his truth, which does not change with changing time. How many of you are looking for stability? Someone or something that you can depend on, that's trustworthy, that you can count on. They always will be there for you. They're not going to let you down. How many of you want stability? And you're continually desiring and searching for stability. In Jeremiah 17, verse 5, thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in man, and makes flesh his strength, whose heart departs from the Lord. So here you have people, they're putting their trust and their confidence in people. Now, I'm not trying to put you down or offend you, but this is something my father taught me a long time ago. Do not put your trust in people, because sooner or later, people are going to let you down. Everybody's going to let you down at one time or another. This doesn't mean that you don't trust one another. Don't take me wrong in this. This is the idea. I put my confidence in you. I can stand on you. I can count on you always. No. There's no person that I can have that much trust in, because people are going to let you down. And if you do put your trust in men, your confidence is going to be shattered. Sooner or later, they're going to let you down. Look at the next verse here in Proverbs 28 and 26. He who trusts in his own heart is a fool. Let me ask you this. Have you ever let yourself down? Have you ever done things that you didn't think you were going to do? Have you ever said, I'm not going to do that, and then you do it? Have you ever asked yourself, as I said last Sunday night, what's wrong with me? Let me ask you this. In the Garden of Gethsemane, when the disciples told Jesus that they would never forsake him, did they mean it? Yeah, they meant it, didn't they? When Peter said, I'll die with you, but I'll never deny you, did he mean it? Yeah. And just a few hours later, everybody's running from him. And Peter indeed denied him three times that same night. You see, sometimes we need to realize we're going to not even be able to count on ourselves. Because sometimes we sin. Sometimes we give in to the temptation. Sometimes we are weak. And so I need to realize I should not even put my confidence and my trust in me, Because unfortunately, sometimes I am unstable. Unfortunately, sometimes you can't lean on me because I will collapse underneath you, or I may even collapse underneath myself. Proverbs 11:28 says, he who trusts in riches will fall. So again, do you get to see the concept? The idea is I'm leaning on it. I'm leaning and I can count on it. I got money. I got gold saved. I got a nice savings account. I've saved all this stuff and all this money. I can lean on this. Really? You better look out. You do not lean on riches. You do not trust riches. You don't put your confidence in riches. They are unstable. How many of you have worked to save money and all of a sudden something breaks? And there goes all your savings. That's one of the problems about life. As I've told you earlier, everything is falling apart. Everything is going into disarray. And you're working, trying to get ahead and trying to get ahead. And all of a sudden, you didn't see this coming out of left field, and boom, it hits you. And so all that money that you save, there it goes. That's one of the things Linda and I learned a long time ago. Whenever we get to the point to where we're close to being out of debt, we kind of get uncomfortable. Because we start going, okay, where is it coming from? We're getting close to where we're not in debt. It's about to hit us. Something's about to fall apart. And we're going to have to fix it. Don't put your money and your trust and your confidence, don't put your trust and your confidence in money. It's unstable. So you desire stability. You desire something you can count on, something you can have confidence in continually. You know where you're going to find it? In the Lord. Psalms 18, verse 2. The Lord is my rock. Do you see that term rock? Stability. Strong stability. And my fortress, my deliverer. Again, the term fortress is the idea of stability. The next phrase here says, my God, my strength in whom I will trust. Who you trust, who you put all of your trust in totally, is God. He is the only one you put all of your confidence in, all of your trust in. My shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. You desire stability? There's only one place you're going to find what it is you're desiring. God. God is stable. God will not let you down. Hebrews 13:5 says, for he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. You understand that? He's there for you. In the good times, he's there for you. And in the bad times, he's really there for you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. You can count on him always. His love for you is constant. It does not change. Please realize this about your God. You can count on him. Completely. You want stability? Here's where you're going to be fulfilled. In God. The next verse from Mark 13:31 says, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. Do you see the contrast between instable and stable? Heaven and earth, well, that's going to pass away. All the physical things in it are going to pass away. They're not stable even. They're temporary. But the word of God will stand forever. Are you seeing the pattern already? You desire order? Where are you going to find your desire for order? God, who does not change. The truth that is the same yesterday, today, and forever. You desire stability? The only place you're going to find the fulfillment of your desire for stability is God and his word. They're the same answer. God. And his word. Matthew 27, verse 24 and 25. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. You remember what we learned earlier? That God is a rock, he's stable. God is a stronghold, he's stable. He doesn't change. You can count on him. You can trust in him. And so here it talks about his word and our reaction to his word. If you hear the word and you're doing the word, then you will find stability underneath yourself in the storms of life. The storms are coming. You know they're coming. They have come in the past. Some of you are in the middle of storms right now. And there's going to be more storms coming. How can you stand stable in the middle of the storms of life as the waves are hitting and beating upon you and your family? The way you can stay stable is by holding to God's word and doing it by faith. The one who hears and does not do, you know the rest of the song and the rest of the text. He's like the person who's built his house on the sand. The same waves come and beat on him, and he crashes down. Because he has no stability underneath him. You desire stability. You know it's within you. You want stability, something you can count on. The only place you're going to find it is in God and God's word. That's the only place you're going to be fulfilled. How many of you like victory? Yeah, that's me. How many of you are competitive? Jay knows me real well. We used to play basketball together a long time ago. And when we played basketball, did we have mercy on the people we were playing against? No. We intended on beating you into the ground. I taught my boys how to play chess and backgammon when they were actually 3 and 4. And I would play them chess, and I would just beat them up terribly. And one day my wife came to me and she said, "Come on, Wayne, let him win." And I said, "No. I'm not going to let him win, because then it won't mean anything to them when they do win." And by the way, when they did beat me when they were about 12 years old, boy, that was a red letter day. I'm trying to make myself feel better there. I remember even playing Candyland with them and going, "I'm winning. I want to win, don't you? I want victory." If you've got a team that you're pulling for, you want victory. But if you're involved in it, you want to win. All right. There's nothing wrong with you. That's part of being human. We want to win. We want victory. But the problem is, we're in a dying world. We're in a dying world. 2 Corinthians 4:18 says, "For the things which are seen are temporary." Let me ask you, gentlemen, this. Do you feel like you exist to fix? That your purpose in being is to fix things. You got a nice car, it's going to break. You got a nice house, it's got plumbing in it, probably. It's going to break. Electricity, it's going to break. Anything you see is temporary. If you can see it, your body is temporary, your home is temporary, all your possessions are temporary. They are falling apart as you live this moment. But the things which are not seen are eternal. And so I am driven for victory, and yet everything around me is dying. Am I in a losing situation then, to where I cannot be fulfilled in my desire for victory? Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 8 says, "No one has power over the spirit to retain the spirit. And no one has power in the day of death. There is no release from that war." Got some news for you. You need to kind of come to grips with. You're going to die. You know, I own a room in the hospital over in Tyler, Texas. I paid for it. I told someone there's a little plaque on there. He went up to try to find it. I'm doing everything I can to stay alive as long as I can. I'm going to lose. I'm going to die, okay? Don't know when. I'm trying to hang on as long as I can. And so basically what we're doing here in this realm of our existence, we're trying to hold things together as best as we can for as long as we can with what we've got. Doesn't that kind of describe where we are? We're trying to hold it together as best as we can, for as long as we can, with what we got. And yet in the end, you got to face reality. It's going to fall apart. is going to fall apart. That nice car of yours is probably going to be a junk heap one day. And your house is probably going to collapse one day and they're going to put a parking lot there. And all your possessions are going to be in yard sales. It's falling apart. Everything's dying. 1 Corinthians 15, 57, though, is where we find our desire for victory. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. There's the victory. How are we going to be able to have victory over the temporary body and death? That has been made possible through Jesus Christ and his resurrection from the dead. Again, notice the terms that are used here. God is the one who gives us the victory. It's God who gives us the victory, and the way he gives us the victory is through our Lord Jesus Christ, through his death, burial, and resurrection, conquering death, conquering the one who has the power of death, Satan, and freeing us from bondage to Satan, sin, and death. Yes, I'm going to die, but I'm going to rise from the dead. I am going to have the victory over death. Romans 8:37 says, yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. There's that term, conquerors. We're going to conquer Satan. We're going to conquer sin. We're going to conquer death. But it's not going to be through me. It's going to be through him who loved us. Again, are you finding the pattern? Your desire for order is only going to be fulfilled and found in God and his word. Your desire for stability is only going to be fulfilled in God and his word. Your desire for victory is only going to be fulfilled and found in God and his son, Jesus Christ. We'll close with Romans 8:18. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. As I told you, in this present life right now, you're going through storms, some of you. You're going to go through more storms. You're trying to fight to hold your life together as long as you can, to hold your physical possessions together as long as you can with what you got, but they're falling apart, and sometimes they fall apart faster than you can fix them. And how many of you feel overwhelmed by that and discouraged sometimes? Because you're doing the best you can. You're trying to hold them together, and they keep falling apart faster than you can fix them. Okay. There's nothing wrong with you because you want victory and order and stability. There's nothing wrong with you. But if you look in this world for the fulfillment of those drives, you're going to be frustrated and empty because it's not there. There's going to be suffering in this life. But there is a resurrection coming. And listen to me, folks. In heaven, there is no more sorrow. There is no more tears. There is no more death. Things are not going to be going into disorder. They're going to be the same way for eternity. I am going to live for eternity. I am going to have victory. You're going to have victory. Victory over death with God and Christ in heaven. That's true victory. All the temporary things here, they're meaningless. And all the suffering we go through, the text says, they're not worthy to be compared with the glory that's going to be revealed in us. We're suffering sometimes now, and sometimes the suffering is intense. But listen to me, folks. Heaven is real, and we're going there. Our life here is like a vapor. We're here for a little while, then we're gone. But eternity is not that far from us. We still have races to run. We still have work to do while we are alive on this side. Don't think something is wrong with you because you're trying to put things in order. Don't think something is wrong with you because you're wanting and hungering and desiring stability, something you can count on. Don't think something is wrong with you because you want to win. But you have to live in reality. And the real world, the physical world, is going into disorder. It is unstable, and it is dying. And you're going to die. That is reality. Order stability, and victory can only be found in God. I appreciate your kind attention. There may be somebody here this evening who is not a member of the one body, and you believe that Jesus actually is the Christ, the Son of the living God. If you're willing to openly confess your faith and repent of your sins, we'll be glad to assist you and baptize you for the remission of your sins into the one body. If you're a child of God already and you realize there is sin between yourself and your God that you have not dealt with, our God is gracious. He is merciful. He's willing to forgive us. Take the sin to your God, confess it to him, and turn from it. We as your spiritual family will do the best we can, seriously, to try to encourage you and strengthen you and help you be stronger in the future than you have been in the past. If you are actually subject to the gospel call in any way, let it be made known while we stand and sing the song that has been selected.